Going to be turning over to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6. There's another song that I sing sometimes entitled All of Our Tomorrows. It's put out by Sovereign Grace Music, and I kind of want to just refer to the lyrics of the song as just kind of part of my message, and I hope it would be an encouragement to you. But there is a stanza, a phrase in the stanza here that I love, and it says, when winter makes us reminisce of warmer days so distant now, of cherished saints the sun once kissed, whose beauty passed beyond the cloud. Well, today we reminisce of our mothers. It's Mother's Day. We have seen some precious mothers who have passed beyond the clouds. A few Wednesdays ago, we went to CC's Pizza after church. We've been doing the cheap eats after Wednesday night. And we were surprised to see Judy Thomas and her grandkids were at the pizza place there, and we talked for quite a while. Zelly, her mother, was our oldest mother, and she passed away at 104 years of age. And then, of course, we terribly miss Marie Sutherland. We miss her so much. And she was such a powerful witness and influence, larger than life, I really believe. And she loved the Lord, and she loved her church. And we sure love and miss her. We still miss her. And I'll tell you someone else that I terribly miss. Most of you remember Noma Prescott. Noma was a jewel of a lady, and she always used to tell me about people. You know, someone would act up in church or say something, and she'd say, Pastor, they need to have a come to Jesus moment. I always liked that. We sure miss Noma. Well, we know that we can't keep them forever, but it's sure good to cherish them while they're still here. And so if you have a mother that's still alive, just love them and cherish them and really let them know it. But we miss the mothers that have gone on. My mother passed away well over 32 years ago. And Pam's mother, just really a few years ago, I don't know, seven. It's been that long. Isn't that something? How time passes. 7 years, Pam's mother left us. You know, when I was a child, I had a fear. I had a fear of losing my mother. I often wondered, you know, as a child, I said, I told her, I sure hope you don't die or anything, because I don't know how I'm going to make it, you know, without you. And who's going to take care of me? Well, I'll tell you. The Lord has long relieved those fears because He's taken care of me and my family for all these years. And I have put my trust in the Lord. And I think maybe this is the gist of our text today as we look here at Matthew chapter 6. As we see a part of Jesus' teaching, He is commonly known as the Sermon on the Mountain. Jesus gathered those disciples. Paul is referring to John 6, where Jesus fed the multitudes with bread and fish. And actually, I'm going to preach on that next Sunday morning. We're launching into John chapter 6, and there's a great message there, by the way. But all these multitude, 10,000 people, sat on grass on a hill, and Jesus fed them. But He also taught them this. Right on that mountain, as they were sitting there, He taught them the very words that I'm going to share with you today from the Scripture. And as we think about all of our tomorrows, you know, a sovereign God cares for us in every way, in every condition of life. Matthew 6:25, here's the words of Jesus. He said, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, for what you shall eat." Well, we could say a lot about that, right? What you shall eat, or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? I think he's speaking about how God controls the seasons of life. And God is in control of every season of our lives. And the seasons change. We're in the spring now, but down in Florida, I really think there's only two seasons, hot and it's not. seems to be the case. But we start out in the spring of life. Everything is new. Just thinking about the little baby there, I saw on Facebook where he was taking his steps. And so look out. I tell you, but when you're a child, everything's new. Then summer comes along, and there's marriage and family and maybe a career that you're pursuing. You build a home, but then soon autumn fills the air, and maybe we turn 50-something. A family nest is empty. Your hair starts turning a little gray. Unless you can defy that. Then comes the winter. And winter time, some make it even to 70 years. I know I've done that. Thank the Lord. But we realize that, you know what? We're reading the last chapter, aren't we? It's the last chapter of the book of our lives. And it, like at this time, you know, I go to more funerals now than I ever did. People, loved ones, and friends, we start burying our mothers and fathers, and we're facing retirement and maybe loneliness. And we wonder just how fast life has passed, like the changing of the seasons. But if you really believe in the Lord, if you believe in God, you believe He's in control, you know, what Jesus is teaching us is that you don't have to spend your days in fear and in doubt. You don't have to worry all the time. A lot of people do. They spend their life worry, 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 worry. That's like a Chinese proverb said, worry, hurry, bury. That seems to be the way it is. And I think this is the point that the Lord speaks to us, that, you know, in our life, God really cares about your life. And Jesus tells us that life is more about just making a living. And he said you shouldn't worry about what you should eat or other matters of the physical body. I read this one. Here's an attention getter. I always put them in my messages sometimes to keep your attention. Why did Dracula become a vegetarian? It's because his doctor said steaks were bad for his heart. Okay. I got your attention, right? Now, God really cares about your life. In this song, All of Our Tomorrows, it's got four stanzas, and the first stanza goes like this. This spinning world by your own hand hurls ever on around the sun. The seasons march at your command. The old departs, the new year comes. And though celestial is your gaze, you search and care for all our ways. We offer up to you this day and all of our tomorrows. That God really cares. The God that made this world. The God that made that big bright star out there that shines down upon us. To me, I think one of the greatest proofs of the existence of a personal God is everything we see. You know, they've been to the moon. I don't know if they'll ever get any farther than that. But God made all this. If you don't believe that, would you please explain to me the alternative? How all this came about. How this earth is the exact distance from the sun to sustain oxygen and life and growth, light, the seasons. It's all, you know, it shows me there's an intelligent creator. I know I read one guy, you know, some philosopher, and he believes that we were all created by aliens. You know, little green men about 3 foot tall that they invented all of us, and now they're checking on us, you know. But no, I think there's a creation here, and God controls every season, and God really cares about your life. And we can safely entrust our future to the Lord. Oh, though celestial is your gaze, you search and care for all of our ways. And friends, all I can do is commit my future into the Father's loving hands. He holds that future. And Jesus went on to talk about how he's a shepherd. Our gracious shepherd guides our way. Matthew 6, and notice verse 26. Now he uses the illustrations of nature to teach us about how God takes care of us. He said, "Behold the fowls of the air." That's the birds. Do you like birds? I love them. "Behold the fowls of the air, they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much better than they?" If God takes care of these birds, cannot God take care of you? That's the reasoning here that we read about a shepherd that guides our way. And our gracious shepherd knows the way that we have to go. He knows the way that we must take. And we have a loving and gracious shepherd in our Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe that he wants to guide you. He wants to direct your steps. But here's the second stanza of all our tomorrows. Listen to this. "May zealous youth and cautious age determine not the steps we choose. Great Shepherd, guide us through each day. Oh, how we want to follow you. Come, living way, our way make clear. Let perfect love drive out our fear. Be thou our vision, now and here, and all of our tomorrows." You know, we have a shepherd that guides us. And he talks about zealous youth and cautious age. You know, you need to be careful when you're young, the choices you make, because they tend to stay with you for a long, long time. And on the other hand, if you're an older person, you need to be cautious too, because a lot of times we make decisions out of fear or frustration with life. I tell you, one of the passages that has always been a blessing to me, and I turn over and over again to it, If I need to know the way of the Lord, if I need to know guidance from God, if I need God to lead me, if I need God to speak to me and show me some things, I've often turned to Proverbs chapter 3. And listen to this. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. God tells us, He said, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding." Did you get that? Trust the Lord more than zealous age or youth. Trust the Lord more than just your own logic or your own understanding. You may not understand it all. A good example, you know, my mother, when I was a teenager, she would tell me things. She would give me advice. I don't know if your mother did that. I'm sure she probably did. I mean, my mother told me not to race my bicycle down the road. But I did. I modified my bike. You remember like how they used to do cars back in the 70s, you know, they put these big wheels on the back of a car and little small wheels on the front. Like, you know, you'd see that, and that's what I did to my bike. And I found out that racing that didn't work too well because I hit some gravel, and my bike flipped over, end over end. I landed right on my face, broke out my teeth. My mom said, "I told you." Now your dad. Oh, your dad. Because, see, he had to pay the dentist to give me these two. I got two false teeth here from all of that. I had to pay that price. No, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not. And notice in verse 6 of that verse, he said, "In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." And I thought, what are those ways to acknowledge God? Well, okay, maybe marriage and family would be good, right? Seek the Lord about who you want to spend your life with. Seek the Lord in that. And He can direct you in that. He can provide for that. Maybe you're interested in a career or maybe some calling in life. Why don't you honor God and seek the Lord and the gifts and talents He's given you? He can direct your path. And there are just so many areas, even in your pleasure, in your pursuits. I mean, God can bless you in that. If you put Him first and honor Him in that, He can bless you in that and open the doors for you. So a gracious shepherd, He knows the way that we must take. And so we are to determine to follow the will of Jesus. And when you determine to follow God, when you determine to walk with Christ and you follow the way of Jesus, He will make your way clear. I mean, it's easy to make impulsive decisions when you're young, as the song says. It's also true we make decisions out of fear when we're old. And so may zealous youth and cautious age, don't let that determine the steps you take. Let perfect love drive out our fear. And let me say something important. Saying goodbye to worry requires a willingness for you to change. And that's what some of you need to do. You spent your life with worry and stress that's needless. And you need to change. It means changing your whole perspective from a self-centered vision to a God-centered vision. And you have to start wanting what God wants for you instead of wanting only what you want for yourself. You are going to have to let go of the control or the outcome of a lot of things. And realize that God is in control of things and you're not. Ultimately, I know you can do some good things for yourself, right? Yeah, I mean, you know, and I think God expects us to pray, but he wants us to put feet on the prayers, right? He wants us to do the best we can. I've got an old saying, I don't know if it's original with me, but I always say, I'll do my best, and then I'm going to trust God for the rest. I've kind of lived by that. I do the best I can. It's not always going to be the best for anybody else, but I do the best that I can, and I put my trust in the Lord that He will do what is best for me. He's in control. I'm not suggesting that you live your life in the passive lane. I'm saying you have to trust God for the things that you don't have any control of. That the Bible says God takes care of the birds out there. And you can commit your fears and anxiety to the Lord Jesus, and you can also have faith in Him when your feeling's not right. We don't listen. As Christians, we don't live by feelings. Friends, we live by faith. Faith in God. And God's been teaching me that lately. He's been leading to me that, hey, you need your faith. Even when you don't understand what's going on, we walk by faith. Trusting God is an act of faith. Listen, it's believing God when the evidence doesn't seem to support His goodness. But faith speaks to us about how good He is no matter what we go through in the present moment. God is still good. Hey, you know, I still believe in Romans 8:28 that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them that are called according to His purpose. Things I don't understand. Like when you go out and turn your car on, it won't start. Is God in charge of that? Well, sure. There's a reason for it. For all these things. And if God can take care of these critters out here that fly in the air, my friend, He will take care of you. You can bring your fears and anxiety to the Lord Jesus because He knows what's best for you. Even when you don't feel right, you don't feel good, you live by faith. And when you love the Lord Jesus, He'll give you a clear vision. So you don't live your life in fear, you live by faith. You pursue the joy of knowing and loving and worshiping the Lord. In his book on obedience, Eugene Peterson made the statement. He said, "Relax, we are secure. God is running the show. Neither our feelings of depression nor the facts of suffering nor the possibilities of defection are evidence that God has abandoned us." And you got to believe that. Don't fall in for the lie that God has left you or God has abandoned you, Christian. Nothing could be further from the truth. He hasn't abandoned us at all. Now, notice back in Matthew there, I want to look here at something else. And verse 27, Jesus posed this question, "Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature?" Do you worry about growing taller? When I was a kid, I did. When I was 12 and 13, man, I stood about 4'8". Little fella, skinny. And I kept thinking, man, am I ever going to get taller than this? And boy, I'll tell you, when I hit that 10th grade. Whee! I went all the way up to 6 foot. Well, I'm not 6 foot today. I'm more like 5'11". You know why? It's the laws of gravity. It kind of makes you shorter. But God is blessed in that. And He'll give you a clear vision. You say, Jesus talked about a cubit. You know, what in the world is a cubit? Well, I looked that up, and a cubit is what they call an arm span. It's from your elbow to the top of your finger is a cubit. About 20 inches. And so Jesus said, why would you worry about growing 20 inches? Can you imagine what it would be like if I grew 20 inches? 5'11", 6'11", 7'11". I'd be 7'11". I'd be the hottest prospect on the NBA draft. Right? Imagine that. Pass me the ball. Thank you. You know, they've got guys almost that tall out there. But Jesus said, no, you can't. And the thought of that is, you know what it is, what Jesus is referring to? Do you think that you're going to extend your life any bit, another cubit? By worrying about it? No, you certainly won't do that. And, you know, do you think that you're going to be better off worrying about what other people think about you? No, I doubt that very much. And I think we do. We do worry about what other people think about us, don't we? Which is quite foolish. But we don't have to worry about stuff like that. God takes care of that kind of thing. Some people try to impress others by the clothing that they wear. And Jesus referred to that here in Matthew 6 in verse 30. Actually, verse 28, he said, why take thought for raiment, for the clothes you wear? Consider the lilies of the field, the flowers. He said, how they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. They're not actively engaged in a manual type of labor. They just grow. They're just planted in the ground. And he said, yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. And wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? And therefore, he said, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, or wherewith shall we be clothed? You want to impress people? I guess you can by maybe the clothing that you wear. I thought about that. I went into the mall a few weeks ago up here. Now, they only got a couple stores still there. And I couldn't find, I was looking for some shirts. And I went into this Dillard's store. And I said, man, they got some nice shirts here. And I went up and I found a couple of beautiful shirts, and they had a little horsey on it with a polo guy. Well, you know what brand that is, right? And I looked at the, you know, if they don't have a price tag on it, you can't afford it. But I looked at the price tag on this shirt, and it was $120. For a long sleeve shirt. And I said, I wonder what you're paying $118 for. Because it only costs a couple of dollars to make that shirt in Vietnam. So you're paying, what, $118 for that little polo guy on there. That's status, man. So I said, well, I think I'll skip that one. On my way out of the Dillard's, I noticed they had all the perfume and cologne. And I said, well, you know, I need some new cologne. You know, you don't want to stink up the place. So I walked by there and I saw this little green bottle about that big. And it had a polo thing on it too. And I said, how much is that little teeny bottle of cologne with the horse on it and all that? And the girl said, it's $135. I thought, well, no thank you. I guess I'll have to stink. But one of the things I like to do in there is get the samples. You know, spray it on you, you know. It'll stay with you a long time, by the way. And I tell you what else. If you go down to the Dollar Tree, did you know they have a cologne section in the Dollar Tree? Costs you $1.50. And it is a copy of the Polo cologne. And it says on there, if you love Polo, you'll love Polecat. I said, I couldn't go wrong with $1.50. Well, you'd go wrong, man. I could have smelled like, you know, real good. And I bought that. And I sprayed a bunch of that on me. And I said, hey, baby. I said, smell this. She said, that smells like fly spray. Well, you know, the truth of the matter is there are some people that you'll never be able to please. They're going to find fault somewhere, no matter what. But I don't let folks like that control my life. I was reading the other day in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 7. The Bible says, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. So listen, just make it your aim to please the Lord. And you know what? If you just start wanting to please God, he'll take care of everybody else. Our loving God can be trusted for all of our tomorrows. The stanza 3 says, when winter makes us reminisce of warmer days so distant now, of cherished saints the sun once kissed, whose beauty is passed behind the clouds, let all of our fond and longing tears remind us that we're pilgrims here. We trust you, sovereign of our years, with all of our tomorrows. We cherish all of our mothers. We cherish the passing of our mothers. We cherish all the memories of warmer days so distant now. We cherish the saints the sun once kissed who've passed beyond the clouds. Well, we always knew that would have to say goodbye. Didn't we? But we too are pilgrims, passing in a strange land. We're on a journey, folks. Hey, Christian, this is not your home. You got a home there. Many of our mothers have gone, and we're going to follow them. And hope to greet them when we pass over to the other side. So we finish the journey with grace and with hope. You know, I don't know when it's going to be my time to pass beyond these clouds, but I tell you what, my hope and my trust is in the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior and Lord. And I leave it all. I leave it all in His hands. And so we're running hard to win the prize, empowered by the love of God, with grace before and grace behind. For lo, what hope before us stands. You finish all you began. Eternal joy is in your hands, and all of our tomorrows are in the hands of an almighty God. I like what Philippians 1 says, being confident of this very thing, that He which has begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. If you're still here, you are, obviously. And you're saved, you're a child of God, God's still working in you. I wonder what Mom would tell me if she could speak from beyond the grave. What do you think your mom would tell you? I don't know exactly, but I think she would say, I know you miss me, but don't worry about me. I'm doing fine. I'll see you again in that land where night never falls and where death claims no victor. And I think she might also tell you, you know, honey, be there for your kids and your grandkids like I was for you. Be there for them. Show them how much you love them. And show them how much you love Jesus. I believe that's what Mom would say. The Lord bless you. God bless you, mothers. Amen. Father, I